This is the 2020 UNC preseason special. Now, here's Brady Hull and Jason Alvin.
Good Monday afternoon, Northern Colorado and Bears fans. This is the UNC men's basketball preseason special presented by First Advantage. I'm Brady Hull, joined, obviously, by the voice of the Bears, Jason Alvin. And Jason, my friend, last week was a lot of fun, and, you know, we kept talking about why we're doing this show weekly, because we were going to constantly get updates, perhaps. Well, we get an update today on that very first game of the season.
We do. November 27th in Kansas City, part of a tournament there, Southeast Missouri State. Southeast Missouri going to be the first game of the season, the Redhawks. And, you know, you look at it, and it was just nice to wake up to that tweet and see some news, some schedule information. I mean, it was really, really nice to see that game on the schedule.
Yeah, no question about it. And, of course, UNC men's basketball Twitter tweeted this out about five, 6 hours ago. The non-conference schedule is coming together. So they announced this one. I would imagine we're going to get some more announcements probably this week, wouldn't you guess?
Yeah, I'm sure it's going to trickle out slowly but surely. I mean, assuming this game is out in Kansas City, and assuming UMKC is going to be on that, possibly on that schedule with this tournament taking place out there for right after the Thanksgiving holiday. But it's going to be great. Again, we talked last week. I think there's going to be a lot of local feel with everything that's going on with travel restrictions and pandemics, and you can go to one state and you can't go to this state, or this school can travel and that school can't travel. I'm assuming that there's going to be, you know, a lot of local flair for this team. Southeast Missouri last year was 7-24 overall, so a team that's kind of in the building, so to speak, of things, but can never want to just say, hey, that's a W when you get out there, especially on the road in a neutral site.
Yeah, certainly there's still a lot to learn about this UNC basketball team. Of course, I popped out to practice last week. Jason, I know you've been visiting practice frequently looking at this group. And yes, we can look at everything and the scrimmages and practice, and things can look good. And, you know, we know a lot about Steve Smiley, a huge part of what UNC's done the last 4 years. But we really won't know until we see him out there on the floor for the first time against another opponent.
Well, you're absolutely right. They look fantastic going up and down and up against each other. It looks like there's a lot of depth. You got guys that you can shuffle in. We think you feel pretty confident in, you know, four of the five starters. Sure. You think you look at the guys that started last year, you know, Kaur and Bodie and Matt Johnson all started 31 games a season ago, and Sam Mastin started 13 of the 24 that he played in. So maybe you feel confident that he jumps into that point guard role. But there's just guys that I don't think they miss a beat when Greg Bowie comes in and takes that role, or Roderick McCobb comes in there and makes some plays. And then they've got some young kids that I think can make an impact as well. And you've got to love the depth. You've got to love what you see. Obviously, Dalen Kuntz comes in and has that special athleticism, that special playmaking ability, especially watching him in transition in the open court is going to be fun. I will guarantee UNC fans that. If I can guarantee one thing, I will guarantee that. But just a lot of guys that can make plays on that roster.
What I noticed, Bodie Hume, Kaur Jokuc, they look like they've been hitting the gym. I think you talked about Bodie with his exercises. Kaur looks like he maybe, I don't know how much you think he added poundage-wise, but that stood out to me. I mean, he's just he's really trimmed up a little bit, but it's in the shoulders. He's thick, man. Well,
broad shoulders for sure. You know, he talked about how he wanted to play football growing up, and that was kind of his first passion. And then they realized it was played outdoors. It looks like he could go out and be a tight end on Ed McCaffrey's football team over there at Nottingham Field. But he has bulked up. He's probably added 12 to 18 pounds.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering.
In there, I mean, I know that's a broad range, but he has gotten thick. And you mentioned the shoulders are lean, they're cut. And just his ability to catch the ball as well, I think, is an unstated characteristic. It maybe goes overlooked a lot of times, but his ability to catch it in the post and be able to go to work, he doesn't fumble around. It's not brought down. He's solid in the fundamentals, and this added weight's going to be able to bode him well with the rigors of the post in the Big Sky.
And I like this little challenge, or the battle in practice, too. Looking at Theo Hughes out of Brentwood, England, watching those two guys. Theo is 7 feet tall. He's a freshman. I mean, Oh my goodness. He's a monster of a man. Talking to the coaches a little bit, raw, right? He's got that raw ability. It's going to get there, as you see with some of the great big men. A lot of times, you know, they're still working on that game. Going up against Coeur now, I'm watching those two. I mean, they're going one-on-one a lot during practice, or at least on Friday. It's going to be great for Coeur because he's going up against a big guy. But then, obviously, for Theo, going against somebody who's, you know, the Big Sky thinks very highly of in Coeur Jokuch, that's going to bode well for both of those guys.
Absolutely. I still think you can see Theo kind of thinking his way through some of that stuff. And he's young. You mentioned he's a freshman. He's just coming in here, but he has all the physical attributes that you want. Big, solid base. He can step out and hit the three. It's not what they want him doing, but he's got range out to the three-point line. But he is a big man, and is only going to be better by working against Coeur and Jamel Melvin in there as well, another youngster that has shown tremendous athleticism. He's wiry, I think would be the word that I would use it to steal the line from the movie The Replacements. I'm wiry. but he's wiry, and he's put on some weight. Steve Smiley talked about he's probably already put on about 15 pounds here since he's gotten here, but they really like him and his potential. But Coeur's going to get the bulk of those minutes. Who's going to be the guy that kind of slides in there after Coeur is still kind of yet to be seen. But they've got the depth. And again, you mentioned it. Theo Hughes is a mountain of a man.
We might not see much of him. Will we see a lot of him this season? Or do you think that's going to be more down the road?
I mean, we'll find out.
Yeah.
I wouldn't take anything off the table this year because guess what? It's a free year.
That's true.
It doesn't count against anybody's eligibility. So, And especially with the way that the games are piggybacked off, you're playing the same opponent.
Sure, you might see
Thursday,
kind of a
Saturday.
Different adjustment to the lineup the very next night.
Absolutely. So I think that you're going to see a lot of these guys. They've got 16 guys on their roster. Now, maybe you don't see everybody every night, but you're gonna see some of these guys. Injuries always come into it. COVID is going to come into
sure.
it. If somebody has to quarantine or whatever the case may be, you just have to, like this, you just got to throw your hat in the air and throw your hands up and be see what plays out, because, you know, you hope that you're going to be able to play all whatever games on their schedule. I think there's going to be 27 when it's all said and done. You hope you're going to be able to play all those games, but with everything going on, you just don't know. So I think you could get a good look at Theo Hughes. They're not super deep after Coeur Jokuch. It's Theo and it's Jamel Melvin down there as far as the bigs go. If they wanted to go super small, you could slide some of those other guys in there. Roy Grigsby, maybe a guy you could slide in there. He's more of a perimeter guy at 6'9", but he can stroke the three. But they do some different things. Bryce Kennedy's a guy that I've seen, depending on the teams and the roster lineup and who's in practice and who's out of practice. He's a guy that I've seen slide into that five spot at 6'7". So it all just depends on a multitude of factors here this year.
And I'll be curious too, Jamel Melvin, you mentioned him a few times. Certainly a guy the coaching staff, they think very highly of this kid. And again, that's one of those, maybe he'll get a lot of, he probably will get a lot of playing time, but you got to see how this whole thing plays out. I think bottom line, it's a very deep roster. You obviously have your stars, Bodie Humes. I think, honestly, Jason, and I'm not being a homer here, I know we're going to talk to the voice of Eastern Washington who might have something to say about this, but I think Bodie Humes is poised to be the best player in the conference. And honestly, the size factor, that to me will probably help his game a little bit. He's such a long dude. But now he's adding a little more muscle this year.
There was a play that on Thursday when I was at practice, and it was late in the shot clock, and I think it was Roderick McCobb was D'ing up Bodie, and Bodie has the ball late. And Bodie just rises up, hits a three over great defense, perfect position by Roderick McCobb. And Roderick just looks at him and is like, I can't do anything about that. Because Bodie has that length, and he's got the ability to shoot over guys. But then at the same time, now when he goes down and he's long and he's even stronger, if he gets a mismatch in the post, he's going to be versatile down there on the block. They're going to be able to isolate him depending on matchups to get him down to take advantage of that size. But I think you're absolutely right. I mean, he is going to be one of those top two or three guys in this league. I think there's no question. I think it'll be a fun race, just like last year was for Big Sky Player of the Year with Mason Peatley and Jonah Radabaugh right there in that mix. I think there are so many good players in this conference. They lost a lot, don't get me wrong, as far as star power goes in the Big Sky Conference. But I think there's such good coaching in this league, and that could be headlined by Liggins out in Eastern Washington.
Sure.
I think he does about as good a job as maybe anybody in the country with what they can get out in Eastern Washington and player development. But Shante Liggins does a fantastic job. But there's just such good coaching in this league that I expect some guys to burst onto the scene that we may not have heard about last year.
Yeah, you know, we've talked a lot about it, Jason, on last week's show, how maybe the Bears feel like they were robbed. You know, they lose two to Eastern Washington, but you can't beat us three times. We're going to do it when it matters the most in the conference tournament, and we're going to earn that ticket to the big dance. Well, you got to think Eastern Washington feels triple that, right? They beat the second-best team, UNC. They beat them twice. They were feeling poised to win this conference tournament and go to the big – I mean, the odds are probably in their favor. We are going to talk to play-by-play voice for Eastern Washington, Larry Weir, later on in the program. You caught up with Kuor Jokuch, who I think has an awesome story. Really pumped to see what he can do this season. You also caught up with Steve Smiley. We're going to play back those interviews here in just a moment, 16 minutes after the hour. A lot to get to. We have some news, though, as we mentioned, with that first game of the season. And we've got the schedule starting to round out. But I'm ready for that very first game of the season coming up on November 27th against Southeast Missouri State. Getting close. 16 minutes after the hour, this is the UNC Bears men's basketball preseason special presented by First Advantage on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
KFKA, Northern Colorado's Voice. Dan Patrick, The Hull Show, and Colin Cowherd are on Northern Colorado's Voice. 1310 KFKA. We are Northern Colorado's Voice. 1310 KFKA.
After 3 o'clock, thanks for being with us. It's a special edition, a special UNC Bears men's basketball program. We're going to have this for you every Monday leading up to that first week of play for UNC Hoops. But this is a great time. Glad to be here with you. Thanks again to First Advantage for helping us put together the first ever UNC men's basketball preseason special, something Jason and I hope to do and build a tradition for a very long time. Original plans was to do this for 5 straight days leading up to the season. But it was very interesting. UNC, we sat and talked, and on the Bears side of things, they said, you know what, guys, we're going to be getting updates throughout the weeks leading up to the season. Maybe it would be better for listeners and fans to have these updates hit us. And, of course, what happened? We get an update about that very first game of the season. So, it kind of makes sense. They know what they're doing over there.
I think they may have a little inkling on how to run things over there. They do a great job communicating with us. I'd probably wear Ryan Pfeiffer out over there with texting him for interview requests, but he always does a great job getting stuff for us to have content here, and just does a fantastic job helping us out. So tip of the cap to him and everybody over there at UNC as well, getting this getting things going. Obviously, on campus, they had a swimming and diving meet on Thursday,
sure,
so they had the first on-campus event in 8 months the other day, and then obviously helping us out getting this show going and getting off the ground with this.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, folks, Jason on Tuesdays switches gear. He talks everything UNC athletics, so you're catching up with coaches, players of all sports at the University of Northern Colorado. And I had a chance to talk to Athletic Director Darren Dunn on Friday at practice, and man, he's going off on the swim team. I mean, he was so happy. He's just so thrilled with their coach, with their situation. They've really done a great job, not just with COVID, but with the way they've handled their coaches and the way they just have a bunch of great people that are surrounding these programs.
Absolutely. And I think it takes buy-in at all levels. And I think that's, a reflection of the administration, but also the coaching staff realizing that this is uncharted waters for everybody. And the administration is doing what they can, and it takes a little bit of buy-in. I know coaches are creatures of habit. They want to start seasons on time. They want to have their preseason schedules, and they want to have A, B, C, and D all lined out for them. But D has become A, has become F, and everything gets switched around right now. So the way things have been able to gel together, they released a soccer schedule, they released volleyball schedule for the spring, and football schedule got released. So, you know, there is finally some concrete dates that give these coaches a little bit of peace of mind, knowing that, hey, we are going to play, and this is going to be the date.
Jason, before we jump over to your great chat with Kaur Jokuc, want to hear that for sure. But are you getting any more of a sense? Obviously, you hear the national news, right, of the vaccine for COVID-19 and still more news coming out about that. Is the release of that, and again, I don't know when that will be into the public, is that on the radars of these teams, for example, like the University of Northern Colorado, where they're looking at that saying, okay, realistically, when is that out? And will that coincide with, you know, the opportunity to have fans in the arena across the Big Sky Conference?
I think they definitely have to be conscious of the vaccine and what's going on across the country, trying to get that figured out, what the timeline is for that, because I think everybody wants fans back in the stands. Yeah. Fans want to be there. Players want them there. Coaches want them there for atmosphere reasons. I mean, you want them there, and UNC wants them there. And so everybody wants to get back to the normalcy that we've had previously. But until that timeline comes out with, hey, this is where we're going to get that vaccine, you can start getting it, and it's 85, 90, 92% effect, whatever the statistics come out as, I think, you know, it's going to be kind of a hide and watch, wait and see kind of attitude on whether or not fans are going to be allowed in things, and what Weld County allows, what the state allows.
Sure.
There's so many different guidelines that they're having to go through over there at UNC to just practice right now, that I think having fans might be on the back burner for the time being.
Well, either way you slice it, we'll have all of those games, home and away, right here on 1310 KFKA. And I know, Jason, you're gearing up. You're getting ready to rock and roll, doing your research, meeting with the players and coaches on pretty much a daily basis, and getting out to practice and learning about this conference, what this conference will hold for us this season. You caught up with junior forward Kaur Jokuc, who I think is, man, I talked about it. I saw him on practice Friday, and he just looks massive. He's starting to look like just a monster out there. So I'm very pumped to see what he does this season. You had a chance to catch up with Kaur last week. Michael, let's jump over to that interview. Here's Jason talking to junior forward for the UNC Bears, Kaur Jokuc.
You look at this now, you're in your junior season here, third year at Northern Colorado. How do you feel about what you guys have done in this first 3 or 4 weeks of practice to get ready for this season?
I feel we've done as much as we could to get ready for the game. There's not much you can do with all the restrictions that we have, but I think we were able to capitalize on what we could do. We got a lot of the freshmen knowing the plays and stuff. We got a lot of new guys learning the system, so I think we'll be good when come game time.
You mentioned it, there, obviously, the restrictions. There's UNC restrictions, there's county restrictions, state restrictions. Does it just feel like a blessing to be back here, knowing that the games are 2 weeks away, 3 weeks away? You guys are closing in on actually being able to play some games.
Yeah, it feels like a blessing because 2-3 months ago, we didn't even know if we was going to play. So even to get in the gym was a blessing. Now to play a game, it doesn't feel real at times. But now you look at it from this date, the games are probably 2.5 weeks out. So, yeah, it's a blessing to be able to play in the middle of a pandemic right now.
And you look at your story. You came here from Kenya, Sudan, Canada. It's been a little bit of a trials and tribulations for you to get here to UNC. How different was it, and especially with the recruiting process going through out of high school when Coach Smiley discovered you and got that connection? How fortunate do you feel to be sitting here at UNC and in your third year?
I feel really fortunate because in my grade 12 year, when I was looking at the percentage of kids that played Division I high school, it was like 3.4% of kids in the United States play Division I basketball. And if you add Canada to that, the pool gets larger, so the percentage goes down. So every time I wake up, I just know it's a blessing because maybe 3% of kids make this, and I wouldn't call myself a top percenter, but you just got to look at it and be like, it is a blessing because only 3% of kids get to play, and I'm one of those 3%, so it's a blessing, and I don't even know how I got here. So, yeah.
Well, and you look at it now, started all 31 games a season ago, and you come in here as one of the big veterans on this team, the veteran big. How have you taken the younger guys on this team, Jamel Melvin and Theo Hughes? How have you kind of mentored them and taken them under your wing?
I wouldn't say mentor them. It's just give them little tips and pointers, because I remember when I was a freshman and the questions I had and what was going through my mind. So I just kind of put myself in their shoes, seeing they might have the same questions as me. And if they don't, they're free to come to me at any time and ask whatever they want. It's like an open book. So it's not mentoring. It's just guiding them, letting them find their own way, and me just assisting them on their way as well as a buddy or someone walking with them, not someone guiding them.
And finally, I'll let you run on this, but high expectations for this team this year with your returning starters, yourself, and you throw Bodie in the mix, and just a lot of experience coming back for this team. How do you guys deal with the expectations internally here for this team?
We don't really look at expectations. We just do what we've been doing. So if we continue on doing what we have been doing, we don't really have to meet any expectations, because we're just already doing that. It's like riding the waves. If you ride the low waves, people are going to expect you to. If you're riding the low waves, people are going to expect you to come back. But if you keep riding them, there's no expectations to go up or to come down. You're just at a neutral level, and you're really not concerned about what are people saying, because you know you're consistent on what you're doing, and you're going to produce the same product over and over.
Well, I know we're all looking forward to getting back out on the court and getting things going here. We appreciate you taking the time to join us here today.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Jason caught up with Core. Great young man there. And I like what he said. It's not really mentoring. It's just kind of, hey, I'm there for you if you need me. But that's also kind of him. You know, he's a humble guy. I don't think he thinks of himself that way, but sometimes the best leaders on the basketball court sometimes can be those guys that, hey, I'm here to help in any way I can, but I don't really think of myself as necessarily that leader over you guys.
I think you're absolutely right. It's just somebody that one, he does it by example day in and day out on the court, but then also just being there. And those guys are going to have questions. I mean, Theo Hughes is a long way from home, as is Corjo Cooch. So yeah. They have that in common, where he can say, hey, you know what? It is long. Maybe you're missing, you know, your mom's favorite food or whatever the case may be. You can add that into the mix, and he can talk to Theo about that, talk to Jamel about different things. And sometimes the best leaders are the ones that don't even realize they're the leader. Sometimes it's just the guys that gather the crew together and, you know, have them over for pizza or do whatever. Come watch the game over here. Hey, let's scout some extra Eastern Washington film over at my place tonight. Just little things like that. Or maybe that's internally that's a leadership thing, but the players don't see it that way.
Yeah, they don't really call it out necessarily like that. Great catch up there. You caught up with UNC coach Steve Smiley. We'll play that back for you as well. When we come back, though, we're going to switch gears. We're going to talk about the other team in the conference that thinks they're poised to do some pretty big things this year. We're going to talk to Larry Weir, the play-by-play voice of Eastern Washington, both football and men's basketball. We'll look forward to that. Folks, you're listening to the UNC Bears Men's Preseason Special presented by First Advantage right here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
No code now. Weekdays at 4 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Just 36 minutes after the hour. Welcome back. You're listening to the second installment of our UNC Bears men's basketball preseason special, again presented by First Advantage. We all know back in March it was a crazy time for everyone. It still is. Basketball certainly right on the cusp of jumping into a lot of those conference tournaments. And, you know, we here at UNC, we felt, man, this was going to be a heck of an opportunity for the Bears. Even though they finished second, you were wondering if they could, you know, if they eventually got to take on Eastern Washington, maybe they could get over that hump and go dancing. Well, man, you got to think on the other side of that, Jason. Eastern Washington felt that triple, right? Like, they were the team. They ran the conference and maybe, in a sense, felt robbed. Joining us now, the play-by-play broadcaster for both football and men's basketball, Larry Weir. Larry, it's an honor to have you on the program, sir.
Well, thanks, Brady. I appreciate it.
Jason, of course, here with us as well. And Larry, we were talking about that a bit. You know, expectations are pretty high for UNC, no question about it. But we all know that hump they couldn't get over last year, it was Eastern Washington.
Well, you know, it was kind of funny how it all worked out because Northern Colorado struggled with Eastern Washington, and Eastern Washington struggled with Montana, and Montana struggled with Northern Colorado. So it kind of was a little bit of a circle there. So, you know, there some matchups were advantageous probably for you know, varying teams when you get those three together. I would think those three will be right in the mix once again this year when we get ready to start playing games, and I'm interested to see who else may join them.
Larry, what was that like for the team, of course, obviously in interviews throughout and well after, but knowing, hey, there's this opportunity here. Obviously, you got to do it when it matters in the tournament, in the Big Sky Conference tournament, but you got to feel it. I mean, I think Eastern Washington fans would tell you, hey, we felt like this was our tournament to lose. What was that like? What were the emotions like with that basketball team last season?
You know, it was tough. It was tough for them. It was tough, I'm sure, for UNC. It was tough for Montana. It was tough for anybody that thought they had a chance in that tournament because that chance was taken away. And there wasn't anything anyone could do about it. And so it was difficult. And it was probably doubly hard on Eastern Washington just because they were told, as the regular season champs, they'd be going to March Madness since the tournament didn't get played. And so they had the disappointment of no tournament, then they got the elation of, yes, we're the team, and then they got the deflation again when they were told that there's no tournament. So they maybe had two depression-type moments where maybe some of the other teams only had one. But it was hard for them. It was hard for the coaches and for the student-athletes, and I feel bad for them, and I feel bad for everybody in that situation, whether it was Eastern or any of the other schools.
Well, Larry, Jason here, and I know the feeling of how that went, being on the Montana State women's side of things at that tournament a season ago and getting that same news. But I want to ask you about Eastern Washington and just the history there with their ability to find and develop players, because you look in the past, you look, Mason Peatling last year was the Big Sky Player of the Year, but there has just been guy after guy after guy come through Cheney and just put up huge numbers. Tyler Harvey's a guy that comes to mind, but what is it about the ability for this coaching staff to develop players and keep producing guys at such a high level?
You know, they do a great job of finding guys that fit the system in which they want to play. It's very much a team that wants to shoot from the perimeter, but they also look for guys who can put the ball on the floor and get the ball to the rim. And so I think it's a pretty fun offense for a lot of kids, especially those kids that can score, you know, a good offense in which to play. And so I think they get a lot of buy-in from those guys. And they also look for maybe a little different type of player, some guys that are maybe a little bit under the radar. And so they have been getting some really good contributions from guys who have been walk-ons maybe at the start of their college career and end up earning scholarships. Tyler Harvey, first and foremost there, he came as a non-scholarship player and ended up leading the nation in scoring. And so I think it's a combination, Jason, of the fact that they kind of know who fits the system. And Shante Leggins has been part of this system since even before Jim Hayford had come in. And Hayford is the guy that really got this program back on track 8 or 9 years ago. And so Shante was part of that staff as well as now directing things himself. And so they have a pretty good idea of who they are and who they want to recruit and finding guys that can plug into positions that they have within that framework.
A couple guys that you have returning that can plug and play pretty easily right now, Jacob Davison. He's the leading returning scorer in the league. Everybody else in the top 10 is gone and graduated. And then Kim McKinn as well, 13.5 points a game for you. Second in the conference in rebounds per contest, 9.7. Nice to have two building blocks like that come back for your team.
Absolutely. And Eastern returns 4 starters and 10 letter winners all told. So out of the top 8 or 9 guys from last year, everybody's back except for Peatling. And that's a big pair of shoes to fill, literally and figuratively, in that he's, you know, is a 6'8" center and had maybe bigger feet than the point guard, obviously, but also the fact that he was the player of the year in the conference. So you lose Peatling, but you get Davison, you get Kim Akin Jr. back. You've also got Ellis Magnuson and Jack Perry, who started guard, back on this team as well. So, and most of the guys that were key off the bench last year are back. for this team. But just to have those two guys that you specifically mentioned, Davison is one of the best wings in the league, if not the best wing, and Aiken is an interesting guy in that he is a four-man, but doesn't really play in the paint that much offensively. He can guard anybody one through five on the defensive end of the floor and was right in there with Jonah Radabaugh as far as Defensive Player of the Year last year in the Big Sky. But he is a guy that is a pretty fair three-point shooter offensively, and he's one of the best rebounders in the league and an outstanding defender and a very well-rounded player. And Davison off the wing, is if he can get that three-point shooting percentage up a little bit more toward 40%, he's going to be almost impossible to guard because he's extremely athletic, he's very long, and his dribble drives are very tough to stop. And if he can get a 40-ish percent three-point shooting game to go with that, then that's just going to make him even harder to try to have to guard. And most teams in the league struggle with him anyway, even as it is. So those are the two guys. Those are the two linchpins for Eastern, but they've got some other guys coming back that are really good players as well.
We're talking to Larry Weir, the play-by-play voice of both football and men's basketball for Eastern Washington. And Larry, I'm always curious on the other side. You know, we're starting to get into our previews. We're talking to coaches, and they're not busting into Big Sky Conference previews just yet. We're still in that practice mode. But from your point of view, and, you know, even Eastern Washington fans, I'm sure they're looking out at the rest of the conference and seeing, all right, what do these teams have? Who's returning for UNC? What is the perception of the UNC Bears? Obviously, Steve Smiley taking over at that head coaching spot. Jonah Radabaugh has moved on, and now Bodie Hume going to hopefully take that role as be that number one leader for the Bears. What does it look like from your view of this UNC team?
Well, I think you've got to recognize what Northern Colorado has been able to do for the most part over the last several years. More often than not, they're in the chase, and more often than not, they've got one of the better players in the league. Just over the last couple of years, you've had Jordan Davis and Jonah Radabaugh that have been part of that. But before that, you have guys like Devin Beitzel and Will Figures and so forth, so on. So I think the Bears have the respect of, I can speak directly for the Eastern Washington fan base, I think, in that I think that they are considered one of the top teams in the league and one of the teams that you have to beat year in and year out. And I would think throughout the league the same thing is going on just because they have been toward the top, at the top, or at the very least, they've had players that you have to deal with, along the way. So I think it's a program that's done very well over the last few years, and with the guys they have coming back, there's no reason why they won't be in contention this year, in my opinion.
I always think it's now, especially, you know, as we were doing football previews earlier, now we're full bore into basketball, what those realistic expectations are like for all teams, but especially for teams like Eastern Washington and UNC. I know that they're not looking to take a step back, but as Jason and I were talking about, it's kind of this free year with scholarships. There's just so many, and of course, we don't know on a given day if a game's going to happen, what that's going to look like. So I'm always curious as to what those realistic expectations are for teams like Eastern Washington and UNC.
Yeah, you know, I would think the realistic expectations this year, barring some kind of a major injury, would be for both teams to contend. I think that those two schools, Montana and I think Montana State, are probably the top four teams, in my opinion, in the Big Sky. And then it's going to be really interesting for me to see Portland State, Southern Utah, and Weber State. Mm. And all three of those teams have brought in a tremendous amount of transfers. So when you bring in a tremendous amount of transfers, you can either, you're restocking your team with quality players that can immediately help you rebuild and contend, or you can be stocking your team with a bunch of guys that are in it for the name on the back of the jersey and not for what's on the front of the jersey. They may be looking to get theirs, so to speak. So I think this could be a really deep Big Sky Conference if Portland State, Weber, and Southern Utah, if all those talented guys can mesh together, and you've got a doubly tough problem here because most of those schools couldn't do much in the summertime. Portland State couldn't even practice until last week, even though practice has started October 14th for most everyone. They still were not allowed by the state of Oregon to do anything more than 5-on-0 work, and they just got clear to do that last week. So they're 2.5 weeks, probably, if not 3 weeks, behind everybody else. So with the era of COVID right now, some of those teams that have a lot of new players, and Northern Colorado's a school that doesn't have a tremendous amount of new players. They have some, but they have a lot of guys that were around last year coming back, or at least guys redshirted, who redshirted last year, who are now going to be eligible to play this year. It'll be interesting to see how those schools that have a lot of players back from last year, what kind of an edge they have on the teams that are just starting now to learn one another.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Challenges just constantly showing up for teams, kind of no matter where you are. Larry, appreciate you so much, my friend, giving us some time, and we're looking forward to what, as you said, it should be a very fun Big Sky Conference this year.
Absolutely, Brady and Jason, thanks. Appreciate it, and willing to talk anytime.
Yeah, would love to have you back on the program. Larry, thanks again. We'll talk to you soon. That's Larry Weir, the play-by-play voice of Eastern Washington. And on that note, we'll take a quick break here. And Jason, I know you caught up with Coach Steve Smiley, kind of about what practice is looking like. And as we're rounding out, we're getting close, man. I mean, we're less than a month away.
We're there. Hey, we got the first date for the first game, so we're
ready. That's all that matters now.
We're ready.
That's all that matters. 3:48 the time. We'll take a quick break. You're listening to the UNC Bears men's basketball preseason special presented by First Advantage right here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Hear Mornings with Gale, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
The time. Welcome back to the UNC Bears preseason special presented by First Advantage. Don't forget NOCO Now with Tanner Schwent coming up next. Get you up to speed on all the things that happened over the weekend. And of course, the vaccine news. That's the big one today, Jason.
It is a big one. Or the fire truck that just went by, too.
You never know. You never do know. And it's snowing. I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy times out there. Jason had a chance to catch up with UNC Bears men's basketball coach Steve Smiley. You talked to him a little bit about the X's and O's. You kind of broke into that.
We did. We got into really the evolution of the three-point shot and how that helps drive his offense and defense here for this UNC Bears team. A great conversation. Let's get to that. You mentioned last week on the show that one of your first shots that you look for is open threes within the first 5 seconds of the shot clock. And, you know, I think you and I are probably about the same age. We go back to the era of basketball where you throw it inside to Hakeem, and David Robinson, and Shaq.
Twin Towers.
And you let Patrick Ewing go to work. And, you know, then you work inside out. Well, now, not anymore. I mean, you look at what the Houston Rockets do, and the analytic game is really kind of driving things with the three ball. How much does analytics play into what you coach now, and how has your shift in focus changed over the years?
It plays a ton into how we kind of look at the game. And it's funny, like, if you go back and you watch, like, you know, the Chicago Bulls versus the Utah Jazz in the finals in the 90s or whenever that was, like, it is a totally different game, and you're fighting to get that 12 to 15 foot contested shot. And what analytics has proven is that's the worst shot in basketball. And sometimes it's painful to watch, you know, the Houston Rockets or some of those teams, but you got to get layups, free throws, and open rhythm threes. Like that is the holy grail of basketball. And so from an offensive perspective, so much is built around that. And, you know, going back to the last 4 years here in Northern Colorado with Coach Linder, like nothing's really changed there. I mean, he understands the game to the highest level as well. Defensively, and what we've been really on our guys about is we've got to do a better job of, okay, the last 3 years, we've led the country in not giving up three-point attempts. Like, you just can't get threes against us. Well, now some guys, you know, they understand it. They understand how we do it, the concepts, but we're not doing it to a high enough level. We just kind of going through the motions, and so that's the thing for us analytically. Like, we got to get better at it, but it plays a huge role on both sides of the ball. Whether it's studying the game in terms of, you know, my favorite book analytically is called Sprawl Ball. It's phenomenal. It's a great book. And then you look at just all the different websites that we use, whether it's, you know, at our level, KenPom.com, different things like that that really drive how we try to play. Our scouting is based on analytics as well, because now you have access to so much information through that, through Synergy, that you can really figure out the tells of each player, and you got to expose those.
You were talking about it at practice today. What, you know, your term is a sniper or a driver, and those sort of things. It's some of those things that, hey, if you don't do these little things that we're talking about, that Synergy's telling you that you need to do this, those guys can still beat you, even though they may or may not be exactly what they're planned out to be. So even though you guys have all this information, there still is the desire and the want to that you're trying to get across to these kids. How does, you know, little drills like the shell drill that you guys do, seemingly every time that I've been at practice, you're sitting there doing the defensive shell and knowing your rotations, how does that continually help this team to be better?
They hate those drills. And as a coach, I hate them too from time to time, but it's almost like just taking your vitamins every day. Like, if you want to be really good at it, you just have to keep doing it because it's got to become habit. And understanding what we want to do, that's part of it. But then it's like you said, that's the cheat sheet to the test. But you still got to go out and go perform on the test. You know, we had a team in our league last year, and we looked at it and said, okay, their third leading scorer, about 9-10 points a game, we made that person the emphasis of our entire scout. And he was a sniper. And if he made four or more threes, you're going to lose. And so we said, we actually put Jonah on him. And we said, Jonah, you're going to guard him from time to time. And whenever anyone else is on him, same thing. He is not going to get a shot off. We are going to absolutely no threes to this guy. And in both the games we played him in, and we won both those games, I think he got two attempts off. Well, what happens is when you take him out of the deal, it puts more pressure on their leading score and things like that. And it just changes the game. So we really believe in, you know, looking at how can we just give our guys a little advantage through hopefully just being a little bit more prepared, a little bit more detailed on the scout. That's the goal, at least.
Well, Coach, we always appreciate your time here and look forward to creeping closer and closer to getting that schedule release here and knowing where the preseason schedule will be.
It's creeping, man. We're really close, and I don't want to give a time frame, but I'll say within a matter of, you know, a few days. Who knows, end of the week, next week, whatever. Like, we're almost there. So we're excited to release that when the time is right.
Well, we are ready to get involved and get ready to get going and have all the games right here on 1310. Appreciate your time today.
Thank you.
Smiley, of course. So there we are, Steve Smiley with Jason Alvin. Jason, great stuff there. And he was right. We did get that at least that first game, November 27th, Southeast Missouri State in Kansas City. So we're looking forward to that one, man. I can't wait. Love listening to Coach go X's and O's and analytics. I mean, I love when he opens it up like that.
Well, and I think we could have talked for 45 more minutes, too, just about the philosophy and the three ball and how things have shifted in this day and age and what they're trying to do. And hopefully we can be able to talk a lot more with him and dive deeper into their philosophies here this season. But obviously, great, great stuff there. And, you know, if you want to go check out that book, Sprawl Ball, and see what UNC is trying to do, go purchase something here during the pandemic.
I don't think Coach Smiley ever closes his eyes, to be real honest with you. All right, we'll be back at it next Monday. Maybe we'll have another game or two we can talk about, Jason. We'll see. All right, that's going to do it for us. This has been the UNC Bears Men's Preseason Special presented by First Advantage. NoCo Now is coming up next.
It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA, the Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m.